Are you all prepared, Sabha Josh, for today?
Yes.
All right, today's daf on the 19th day of Sfirat HaOmer is daf Yud Aleph. And I believe that we got up to the two dots. We're right in the middle of all of these marvelous Maamorim of Rava Bar Machasya, quoting Rav Chama Bar Guria, was quoting Rav. And we continue with the cities. We started with cities that were Yeshivatam Krova. By the way, I meant to point out yesterday, I forgot. Two things I left out yesterday. One was Adayin Shadam Din Emet La'amito. Not quite clear, what does Din Emet La'amito mean? The Gemara says also, Tosfos brings over here La'afuke Din Meruma. In other words, a Dayan who goes by the books is not considered to be Dan Din Emet La'amito. Din Emet La'amito means that he has the sensitivity to know when to try to break a witness and when to ignore certain evidence, and that he needs to have the ability to distinguish between what the book says is right and what the situation demands. The truth is that nowadays, as the Rambam Paskins, Dayan doesn't have the right to play games with the din, but he has to be masalik himself. So he feels that the rules are not covering this case, so he shouldn't judge it. And he can't just decide that he's gonna ignore certain witnesses and things like that, because it's too hefty today. Interesting idea. That was one thing. The other thing was very cute, that according to Rashi, as Tosfos points out, that if Avram was 48 years old at the Haflog, which means that when Sodom was built, that was the same year, Avram was 48, and that means in the Milchama with the Melachim, he was 73, because it was the 26th year, and that equals Og, which is interesting. Because, of course, Og was the one who got the whole, got Avram involved in that war in the first time. They end up becoming very powerfully linked in that story, all the way to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of the Sfus of Avram and so on. And there's a lot of strange connections between the two of them. They're both called the Anakim, and Agadosh Banakim is Avram Avinu. But there's a lot of interesting connections with this gematria. But anyway, as Tosfos points out, it doesn't work out according to Seder Elam. According to him, Avram was 75 at that time, at the time of the brief Ben Amtarim in the war, which was. Anyway, so we were talking about cities, and it was Toronto. Our Torontonian isn't here today, which is really very disappointing. But I know you're listening in, but see, we remember you. So Rava Bar Machasya continued today to say that a city whose roofs of buildings is higher than the roof of the Beit Knesset, the Sof Charava, in the end will be destroyed. Shenemar l'romem et Beit Eloheinu la'amid et charvotav. We just mentioned you. Now you'll have to listen in. So we see that to lift up the house of the Lord is to restore its churvot, its ruins. Now this is only real buildings. This is a very modern problem. Do you measure the height of skyscrapers, including the Kishkushi and the Ivruri? And that's part of the big international competition about who's got the highest skyscraper. Do you include the antennas? And how about if it's like a tower-like device that contains an antenna? And so it's a whole big machlokas, you know, where the highest building is. So here, the Gemara makes it very clear. We, of course, imported this word, which is very interesting. It's the elaborate structures that don't really serve any purpose. We call kishkushim. This is the kishkushi. So the kishkushi that are not really part of the actual building or really are just towers for, our president needs a tower to signal to the aliens all the time that are following you. But it's good for radio broadcasting and so on. That doesn't count. Omer Ravashi, Ana Abi Lamata Machasya de Lo Charva. Now this Gemara is the mocker of all of the Hasidish Rabbeim's miracles. Because we see how Ravashi says, I saw to it that Mata Machasya would not be destroyed, because I made sure that the Beit HaKnesset indeed became higher than the other buildings. Of course, the problem is that Mata Machasya was destroyed. And so how do you explain your bruch of saving Mata Machasya? The Gemara answers, yes, but it wasn't destroyed because of that. It was destroyed because of something else. So that always works. You know, I gave a bracha to the patient, and the patient lived, but he died. But he didn't die because of that.
Well, the neighbor didn't say that.
It was I'm joking. Again, nobody's got patience for my facetiousness. No, again, obviously, the good is that there was a time in which there was a chance that they would have built the Beit HaKnesset otherwise, and they were dangerous to Mata Machasya. He saw to it that it wasn't, that passed. And then a later generation, there were other issues. Nobody expects Mata Machasya to exist forever.
But the name would just said if it's higher,
is this a support we built the shul over here? So want something higher than the...
Than that mosque? Well, the Ivuri and Kishkushi don't count.
No, so no, the apartment buildings are all higher than their shul.
This is a big question, actually, because we pasked in this, and yet for some reason we're not makbid on it, even though it's Me'ikar Adin. There's a lot of different approaches as to how it is that we're not makbid on it. First of all, there's a question about whether a building that is bought for a Beit Knesset, instead of being built for a Beit Knesset, has any of these limitations. If you buy a building and there's a miklat, and you want to buy the miklat, the rights to the use of the miklat for Beit Knesset, there are many who hold modern posts, well, that's not a sur, because he didn't build it in this fashion. There's no prohibition of turning a mokum that was built for some other purpose into a Beit Knesset, even though it isn't necessarily the nicest Beit Knesset. There's also the issue of, is this a single Beit Knesset in the city, or every Beit Knesset in the city? Many hold that it doesn't mean every Beit Knesset. There should be one Beit Knesset, which is the high point of the city. The reason this went out of fashion, so to speak, in Halacha Lemaisa, is because in Europe and in Arab countries, the churches or the mosques, bedavka, were made higher, and there was nothing you could do about it, either legally or they would outbuild you or whatever. It was an accelerating arms race at best, and God help us at worst. So basically, people started to be less makbid on it. There's also questions to what this means. Does this mean the height of the building, or does it mean the height of the roof? Meaning, in other words, if you're looking at the city, does this have to be what sticks out, or is it that the building itself, even though it may be built in the valley, and there's other places in the city that are built up on top, it doesn't mean that the Beit Knesset in the valley has to necessarily stick up more than the... Okay, that's also could answer some of the problems.
This mosque next to the Ramban was specifically built to be taller
for
than
that. Yeah, but they don't recognize that their phallic symbol doesn't count. It's just the kishkushi, basically. It has to be the mosque itself that would be higher. Right? That doesn't really... Yeah. The Omar Rav Bar Machasi, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav, Kol choli velo choli meayim. Look, if a person is going to get sick, any sickness, but not trouble in your stomach, because that's just that's, oh, did I? Yeah, that's a tough one. You sure you want to learn that one? Huh? Omar Rav Bar Machasi, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav, Tachat Yishmael velo Tachat Nochri. Look, if you're going to have a boss, so who does Dilbert want? So he says, okay, I would take an Arab rather than a Roman. I take a Roman rather than a Chaver. Rashi learns that Chaver are Parsi, and Tosis points out that the Parsi were involved from the time of Koresh, the Chaverim that came during the time of the Tanoim. Couldn't be Parsi in some type of other Ruma. There's many Gemaras that make it clear there's some kind of deep connection between the... maybe the Zoroastrians, and the later type of religious, these were priests that didn't allow you to have fires, except for but whatever it is, they were some very tough people. There's a lot of different shitas as to precisely historically who it's referring to. Tachat Chaver, I'd rather work for one of those guys instead of working for Talmud Chacham. Those are absolutely the worst. Hello, Tachas Talmud Chacham. Because those Talmud Chachamim, you get them upset and they're vicious. And Tachat Talmud Chacham, hello, Tachat Yatom V'almanah. I'd rather work for a Talmud Chacham than work for a Yatom and Almanabi. You do something wrong and you upset them and they cry and God gets upset at you. But what do you need it for? V'yom Rav Bar Machasi, Rav Chama Bar Guri, Yom Rav. Kol Choli. If you're going to be sick, make sure it's not in your stomach. V'lo Choli Me'ayim. Kol Ke'ev. Take any kind of pain, but not vokev lev. A pain is a sudden sharp pain, the lashon of kev. So not a pain in the heart. Kol michush, a michush is an ache as opposed to a pain. Any ache, but not a headache. Kol ra'ah v'lo isha ra'ah. Anything bad, but not a bad woman. Somehow, that's just Gemara and Erevin. Anybody with a isha ra'ah is guaranteed never to see hell. He's had too much of it in this world.
Happy wife is a happy life.
But there's another gears over here. Yeah, another gears over here. Ra'at Isha instead of Isha Ra'ah. In other words, that women know how to get bad things really done. Historically, the power behind the throne. If Yomar Rava Bar Mechaz Yomar Rava Bar Goyim Ra'ah Im Yiyu Kol Hayamim Diyo V'Agamim Kul Masin V'Shamayim Yiriot V'Chol Bnei Adam Lav Lerin Ein Maspikin Lichtov Chalala Shereshut. If you would have all of the oceans as dyo, as ink for your printers, and you had all of the agamim, all of the reeds to be printheads, and all of the shamayim to be paper, and everybody working at the same time writing, they would never be able to keep up with the information flow of government. Mikra, Amr Mesharsha, Shamayim Larum. So you can measure Shemayim, you can measure Oretz, but you cannot measure the interrelated information in the Lev Melachim, which Lamaisa gives you pause thinking about how you should second guess government decisions very often. You know? So in other words, the idea over here is that there's nothing as complex as the interrelationship, possible bits of information. Of course, that's, you know, the most complex structure in the universe sitting right there on your head. So, you know, galaxies are a toy compared to that in terms of complexity. There's far more possible neural interconnections than there are particles in the universe. That's the amazing thing. V'yomer Rava Bar Mechaz, Yom Rav Chama Bar Gur, Yom Rav, Yafet Ta'anit L'Chalom Ke'esh L'Na'oretz. Nice to have some of our old brachas from friendship back, huh? It's always good to have a tainis for a chalom, because the same way that fire immediately burns the na'oret, and the na'oret is the part of the grain that's already become crushed through the threshing, so now it's going to fly off. And it's the part that will burn immediately because it's got a tremendous surface area surrounded by oxygen. So too, this is how the Marshal learned. So too, the eish, the equivalent of the eish, is the tanit, which will burn only those parts that require burning. In other words, the neoret, leaving you with the gist of a good dream. Om Rufistu Bo Bayom. It has to be on the same day. That's when it's got that same power. And Rabbi Yosef says, even if that day is Shabbos, as we mentioned in Brachot, most of the poskim say that nowadays people don't have dreams. They just have self-induced suggestions. Therefore, their dreams are meaningless, and there's no point in having Tanit Chalom and Misha Makpid, Makpidim Allah, just forget about it. Rav Yoshua Bereda Ravidi equal of a Ravashi. Rav Yoshua Bereda Ravidi once came to Ravashi, and they made a beautiful zu'udah for him in his honor, Abdila Igla Tilta, the third-born eagle, which is always the best, because the mother's in her best shape at that point. And he wasn't eating. Amr Lailito Marmidi, how come you're not eating something? Amr B'ta'anit Yativna. I'm keeping a ta'anit today. This is a great halakha to have. You can always borrow against the tainis and pay it back some other time. Because, I mean, sometimes the tainis is really, really inconvenient. I mean, they just invited you out to the most beautiful French restaurant. What are you going to talk about? The tainis just seemed I made you negligently so. So he said, oh, well, that would be very nice, except for the fact that this particular tainit is a tainit chalom. And the Rav Bar Mechaz, Yom Rav Chama Bar Gur, Yom Rav, Yotfet Ta'anit L'Chalom, Ke'ish L'Na'oret, and Rav Kista said it has to be on that day, and Rav Yosef said that's true even on Shabbos. I can't give it up just for an Igla to yourself. Can I have a rain check? V'yim itchilo, ein mafsikin, But mafsikin le kriyat shema, and then it says again, vein mafsikin le tefillah. I mean, the mafsikin le kriyat shema, I can understand that you can maybe say there's a difference between the Raisa, the Rabbanan, I don't know, but why in the world would you repeat ein mafsikin l'tefillah if that was the first part of the Mishnah? Ein mafsikin l'tefillah. You say, ein mafsikin l'tefillah again. Atana l'reisha, ein mafsikin. No. You don't understand. The Sefer is talking about a completely different issue. The Reisha was talking about the question of the haircuts, the burskis, and so on. What we're talking about over here is someone who is learning Torah. So the question is, are you mafsik your Torah for Kriyat Shema or Tefillah? The Tanya Chaverim, not to be confused with the ones on the top of the page, Shahayu Oskim Ba Torah, Mafsikim Le Kriyat Shema Ve Mafsikim Le Tefillah. People that are sitting and learning should interrupt their learning to say Kriyat Shema, but not for davening. Amrid Yochel Hashanu, when we're talking about not being mafsik for tefillah, that's only where this is consistent with the person's behavior in terms of the mitzvah of learning. Like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he wouldn't interrupt for something simple like making a living, so therefore he doesn't interrupt for tefillah either. Abu Kigonanu, mafsikim le kriyat shema le tefillah. People like us who will interrupt to go to our job or to work in the field. So if we're going to interrupt for that, you're not going to interrupt for the tefillah. You can't afford not to daven, as they say. By the way, there's a shiloh over here, according to the Rambam, who learns that avodah shebelev, being tefillah, is the oraita. Why are we making a difference between the kriyat shema and the tefillah? So the Rambam learns that the whole halacha over here, he says the same thing about Rebbe Yehuda, was mesader tefillato for every 30 days. He would only daven every 30 days. But he was also one of this crowd. So how do you explain that? The Rambam learns, this is the Kesef Mishnah explains Rebbe Yehuda, the Rambam learns that that's only then in mesader tefillato. That's to say Shimon Hesser. I can say Shema, I have time to say Shimon Hesser. But you can say, oh God help us. That's also tefillah. So in order to be Yotzi or Dioraita, there's no Zman, and there's no particular Nuska. So the Rambam is also, it means not to be Matzik for the Seder HaTfilah. Certainly is a Din in Tfilah. It could be why Rashi over here strangely involves the Zman. Because this doesn't have to do the Mafsikim in the first part of the Mishnah is not to be Matzik when there's enough time to finish. Here we're talking about not being Matzik at all. And yet, for some reason, Rashi says, the Kriyat Shema Zman HaDioraita. But that doesn't have to do with the Zman HaDioraita. So the question is, okay, at whatever point I would be Mafsik, can I read then? Anyway, that would be similar to the Rambam. Asks the Gemara, but wait, it says, Beferish in a Braita, something that contradicts this Mishnah. About Tanya, Kishem She'ein Mafsikim LeTvilah, Kach Ein Mafsikim LeKriyat Shema. How do you explain that? See, Bishleim, if you would tell me that the first Mishnah and the first Braita are talking about people like us, then you could say that this one is referring to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai b'Chaver. But you're telling me that's referring to Reb Shimon. So who's this referring to? Who is someone that would not be mafsik for Kriyat Shema? Ah, Kitane Ahi b'Ibur Shana. That's talking about the intense meeting of those who would be Eila L'Aliyah to determine whether the year should be mi'ubar. That is a mitzvah that is a mitzvah to Rabbim, to say the least, defines the order of all of the Moadim for all of Klal Yisrael, and is of a level of importance, a mitzvah to Rabbim, that you're not mafsik it to do personal mitzvot. The Omer of Adav Arava v'chetanu sabi dehagrunia, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzodo, kishayino oskim bi'ibur shana bi'yavne. You may not know that Yavne is a place in his neighborhood. Lo hayinu mafsikim lo lekriyat shema velo letefillah. We wouldn't be mafsik the diyunim to put off the psak, even if it was nogeya, the missing zman kriyat shema.
Took the Heilige Mishnah.
And now, as we continue our Erev Shabbat discussions, we finally got through Mincha, hopefully long after the haircut was over. And long after we went to the mikvah or before, we want to do it. And now it's getting close to Shabbos, and the question is, there may be the danger of you wearing something that would lead you to carrying it on Shabbos. And how would that be? Well, if you were a tailor, you might be walking around with the needle that you were using. So lo yetze hachayat b'machato samuch l'chashecha shem yishkach liyetze. Or if you're a sofer, blah 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 b'kul muso, don't go around carrying your little kumos. Now Rashi, we'll see later on in the sugya, question whether you're actually carrying, or whether this is in your baguette or behind your ear, and so on. Rashi learns that the cases that we're going to talk about in one possible pshat in the Mishnah is that this is advertising. It doesn't mean that we're concerned for your carrying a needle. Why would you carry a needle? But the way that people would advertise their profession would be each one to carry something that was a remnant for profession. So a lavlar would walk around with a little kumos in his hat, so everybody would see he's a lavlar. You know, somebody who would be carrying around wagons would have a little thing on his head that lit up and said taxi. Or a guy who was an engineer would walk around with a little slide rule behind his ear. You know, so here that was always a simon of an engineer. Guy with a slide rule in his ears.
The
thermometer, that's right. My shver, made it through the war and work camps by having a thermometer. He mamish called himself a doctor. That's all he had. That was his training. He knew how to take a temperature. But people were convinced he was a big professional. So I'm sure he did more health problems back then. So Shema Yishkach V'Yitzeh, we're worried that he may forget. Now the next piece is a little bit unclear. It says, Lo Yafale Et Kelav. It's not clear whether this goes together, V'Lo Yikra, and then Ma'or Aner is to both of these things. Don't check your clothing for Kinim, or don't pull out the Kinim. Now, there may be two separate things. The Kinim part may be we're afraid you may crush a Kina. And then the Kriya or Haner would be, we're afraid that you'll get involved in reading and you'll turn up the fire. And there, by the way, in those days, was just a fire. It doesn't mean a wax fire, which is not at all clear. That would be included. We'll talk about that in our halakha discussion. But it means a lamp. And there is a lamp. And they have a little wick that goes up and down. And so we'll talk about in the Gemara whether these are two things or they're both connected. Be'emet amru, hachazan ro'eh hechan tinokot kor'im, aval hu lo yikra. Now, and except that halacha, by the way, there's Yerushalmi that says that ko be'emet amru az halacha lo mashe misinai. The Yerushalmi doesn't seem to really mean it. The Rambam leaves out. No, there's a lot of things. There's a Rush also that's later on that talks about when we say on things that are clearly Durabonah that couldn't have been halacha l'moshe misinai, because they're about halachas that don't exist, like in Surya, what's been, during Shvias and so on. You know, nonetheless, there's the metamru, there it literally says halacha l'moshe misinai. So the lashon of halacha l'moshe misinai can mean, as Rashi says in many of the metamru, a halacha that has no ma'arin. Everybody accepts it. It's absolutely guaranteed to be a normative definition of this. I hear to be'emet amru hachazan ro'eh echan tinokot korim, that the chazan, who would be the one who's he's either teaching the tinokot or he's supposed to point out where it is that you're supposed to start the aliyah from, and they practice. So he keeps watch over them. They don't have the chutzpah to touch anything, you know. I mean, they're very well behaved Seder children, as we see all the time.
Kahati brings in Yerushalmi. It says that the children don't want to learn, don't want to read it. So
right, that's a beautiful. That's a beautiful Yerushalmi. That's right. They prefer it goes out.
Yeah.
But he himself shouldn't be correct. Kayotsebo lo yochal hazavim hazava mipnei hergel avira. Now the same idea in which we're afraid that things that are too close together may end up falling into error is a male and female who, even though there's no problem of tuma, both of them may be tuma. They're both dissolving. Normally they would keep away from each other, but they shouldn't eat together because they may come also to get more intimate with each other. It says the Gemara Tanan Hata, Lo yamod adam b'rshut ha'yachid v'yishteh b'rshut ha'rabim.
In the Surah Chiyot, which is lying on beds by low tables, are more suggestive than our
Shiras. Yes, true. A lot more romantic than sitting out in menorah. So Tznanata, Lo yamod adam b'rshut ha'yachid v'yishteh b'rshut ha'rabim. B'rshut ha'rabim yishteh b'rshut ha'yachid. Person should not be standing in one rishos, and he should have now bend over to get the water from the fountain and the other rishos, that has, of course, a kli, they wouldn't have to drink from, because we're afraid that he's going to bring in the kli into this rishos, pull back, and drink, which, of course, would be hotza'ara, ha'asah. Aval im ichnis roshav rubau lemakom shushoteh, if most of his body is where he was drinking, then it's mutar. Of course, those of us who minded the Yerushalmi will remember that this is not so pashut, because if you learn that the water landing in your tummy is considered to be the hanacha, then that should be the hotza'ah. You're bringing the water from one rishos into the other rishos. Tosfos, in fact, asks this, because l'chora it should be the same as urinating across from one rishos to another. The Gemara says b'feirush is hotza'ah. It's just the opposite direction. If the hanacha is into your stomach, then why is it the hanacha? So Tosfos says the swallowing should be the hanacha, which is keneged this das in the Yerushalmi. That's the question of how to understand Rabbi Meir by B'meyav. Okay, but sorry, but you'll have to stick around for the Yerushalmi for this one.
So they'll use a lot of straw.
The straw for sure not.
No, right, if it was in the cup already, you're out of the border and the straw was in the end.
No, that could be real outside. V'chein begat. Now the same thing is true about a wine press, which is a little bit strange, but the same thing is true, meaning if you're going to be drinking wine as opposed to water, I mean, it doesn't really require much additional information. The Gemara is going to discuss that. See, Iboilu, Carmelit Tamai. What about if you're talking about a fountain in a Carmelit or a water coming in a Carmelit? You want to bend over from Rishut HaRabim and from Rishut HaYachid and drink in the Carmelit. I mean, what's the issue here? Clearly, even if the worst comes about and you forget and you take the kli into the other rishut, it's anyway only a derabbanan, because as far as the Diorite is concerned, you're allowed to carry from a Carmelit either into Rishut HaRabim or into Rishut HaYachim. Which boils down to questioning whether we make a gezerah for a gezerah. In other words, a Carmelit is itself a gezerah. Would we make a gezerah that you may come to be over on Hotza'ah? Even if you were over on Hotza'ah, it would be only Hotza'ah derabbanan. There's some question over here. Rabbi Vega raises the issue that even if it were D'oraisa, you wouldn't be chayav. Because if you picked up that cup in order to drink in the other rishos and then forgot, then as we said earlier, it has to be the akira, has to be almanat to do Hotza'ah. If the original akira was not to do Hotza'ah, but you meant to drink in the other rishos, so even if you'd forget, it would turn out not to be a D'oraita. Right? It's strange. Or do we say that the Akira doesn't have to be the Tzorah, particularly Hotza'ah, but the Tzorah getting it to where I want it? So even if I don't have in Das, but then what about an Akira on Erev Shabbos?
Potter of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a Drabonin, Potter of Oz. It would be a Drabonin, Drabonin. Yeah, that's one issue we need to talk about. Another question is, and it's very important to distinguish between two different types of gezeiras le gezeiras. In other words, in general, we know that kol ma detokun rabbanan kein d'oraita tokun. When the rabbanan give a din, they give it all of the qualities of a d'oraita, unless there's some danger in doing this, like various tumot, you may come to burn truma of a kachet, so they make distinctions. But generally speaking, we don't make distinctions. So let's say if they would be gozer, a new rishus, called a carmelite, then all of the types of hotzah would be the same with a carmelite. In other words, akira and hanocha, what it considered to be akira v'hanocha, and so on and so forth. L'chora, when it comes to that, that's the definition of an extension of a drabonim. The drabonim extend the concept of these two rishuyot into another rishut. So that's one type of, we don't view that as gezera le gezera. The things that we talk about, gezera le gezera, are things where we have a chashash that in a particular case you may come to do something which would be an issur d'oraita. And then we want to apply it to a case where what you would do would be an issur d'rabbanan, which itself was only asur because you may come to do it d'oraita. So we don't do two steps, and it goes in gzera l'gzera. So the question over here is whether in this particular case, the carmelite would be considered to be a gzera l'gzera, or whether it would just be the structure of the original gzera. Whatever applies to Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, applies to carmelite to Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid. In other words, is this part of the normal din of what the Rabbanan asked in carrying? There's a specific gezera. We're afraid you'll take it out. So Omar Abaye, same thing. Once a carmelite becomes the equivalent of an alternate rishut, then all of the same dinim would apply. Whereas Rava says, no. He goof gezera, v'anan nekum v'nigzor gezera l'gzera. Shall we now make one gezera for another? Now, l'maisa, the Rishonim here seem to learn that there's a special issue with Hotzah, this is not supposed to understand, in which we would even be willing to make a Gezerah the Gezerah. And that's because Hotzah is so weird. In other words, you're not doing anything. It drives people crazy. People who grew up around an Eruv, when they suddenly come into a city that doesn't have anything, they can't believe, what are you talking about? I can't, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. You know, so, there's a psychological resistance to Hotzah as a malocha in terms of Shabbat. And therefore, we're more makbid on Hotzah. Rashi seems to learn maybe it's particular to these dinim of Shabbos, where there's so many prote dinim that their rabbanan didn't make a chiluk in between them. But in any event, Abaye wants to say that we would make a gezera le gezera over here, even if it would be a gezera le gezera. And I'll prove it, you says Abaye. Om Rabbi Minah Minala. Let me show you. Why do you think it says V'chein Begat? Huh? What's this V'chein Begat? What's the difference if it's water or it's wine? I mean, obviously V'chein Begat. Tell me, what type of gat are we talking about? Are we talking about a Rishut HaYachid? It said that in the Reisha. It said, don't drink water from a Rishut HaRabim taken out of Rishut HaYachid. Is it a Rishut HaRabim? It also said it in the Reisha. Don't do it in the other direction too. Both ways it said. Therefore, we must conclude that the gat is a carmelite. And it's saying, not only is it usher from Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid, it's even usher in a carmelite.
It's a bor. Because it's a bor, this is a whole makes the gat a carmelite.
There are two possible questions that you may be asking. Let's assume the more sophisticated one, since you are generally our president. And the president would then be asking, if a gat is portable, then we already saw that a kli is not given the din of a carmelite, but only an actual Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid. To which Tosus replies that, yes, the president is right in asserting that it's a bor, meaning in this particular case, the gat is mechubar to the ground. The other possible question was the size, what makes it a carmelite. And again, the carmelite would be anything that is deeper than 3, so it's not love, but the Rishut HaRabim, and it's 4x4 width and less than 10 in depth. And there you have it. There you got a carmelite. So, I say, says Abaye, clearly it's a carmelite, and it's coming to tell me that your gozer gzer l'gzer in this sense. No, says Rava, that's not what v'chein begat means. V'chein begat means not only when it comes to Shabbat, but also where it comes to wine. What's an Ogea wine? It's an Ogea wine in whether you need to take off Maaser when you take wine directly out of the press. And we know that until a Gemar Melacha, there's no Chiyuv of taking Maaser. And even in the Rabbanan, you could continue to drink or to eat Ba'arai. Now the question is, at what point are we already going to view it as a chiyuv, at least midrabanan? This, by the way, is a problem, because even then it would be a chiyuv only midrabanan. Again, it seems to be exer orientation there too. But anyway, it's talking about the isur of drinking, and what it means is, as Rav Sheshi says, v'chein begad le'inyin ma'aser, referring to what? It's not. Shotin al hagat. The Mishnah says you would be allowed to drink wine straight out of the press, and it would be considered to be arai, and there wouldn't be, as long as it didn't get into the holding pit, which is called the bor, which is considered to be the gemar malacha. But the moment that you take it out of the gut, it's considered to be kavua. Why? Because you have no intent of putting the remainder back into the pit, in which case, for all intents and purposes, this cup of wine has now been completed, and therefore you'd have to take off maaser. So there, the Mishnah is machalic. It raises the question of whether you mix the wine when you drank it, as was the derek in those days, with hot water or cold water. Clearly, if you mix it with hot water, you are not going to put it back, because that is going to encourage the chemical reaction which will destroy the wine. It's going to ferment too rapidly. That's the last thing that you want. You need to keep it cool. So, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir holds, whether you mix it with chamin, whether you mix it with sonein, you're still considered to be potter on maaser at that point. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says, no, in either case, it's considered to be kavua yershtia. And the chachamim say, and the chachamim say, and the chachamim say, and the Chachamim say, al hachamin chayav al hatzonein patur. If it's hot water that you mix it with, and therefore you won't put it back, then it's chayav, because now it's considered no longer to be alagat. And if it's tzonein, then it's considered to be patur, because hu machzir tamotar. Since whatever would be left would be put back in, so then okay, it's just basically a taste, which is clearly not kavua, it's arai. And that's what it's referring to when it says v'chein begat. In other words, you need to make sure that you are in a position that you're not going to take the cup out, as Rashi understands. Take the cup out, same way you would for Shabbos, because you're going to take the cup out, then you'd be chayav in maaser. Again, the problem is, even if you would, it would only be a kviyut min rabbanan anyway. It wasn't really nigmar malacha. So what would be so terrible thing? Why isn't that itself? I would rather answering a problem. Because of that, v'chein begat, this is the way the Rambam learns, doesn't mean bedavka, the exact position. It just means v'chein begat, you have to be marked about whether it's in one rishos or the other. But not that we're going to be choshesh, because then if it's a chashash, you haven't answered the problem. Abaye was bringing a raya that goes from gzera to gzera. So Rava says, no, it's a different gzera to gzera. And that's ridiculous. Tashma. Okay, here's why we bring in this whole problem here. It's part of our Mishnah. That's the thing. How does it become part of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says, lo yetze, in general, lo yetze achayat b'machto hatchuva, sorry, skipped over here, right? It's not. Lo yetze achayat b'machto samuch l'chashecha. Don't go out carrying your needle, if you are a tailor. Shema yishkach v'yetze, we're afraid you may carry it on Shabbat. Now, even if you end up carrying it on Shabbat, what's the big deal? Where is that needle? It's under your hand? It's tchuvah lo bebigdo, is it not? It must be that it's the advertising needle, as Rashi learns. So everybody could see it, you're not holding it in your hand. It's stuck in your baghead. That's not the way in which a person normally is motzi, by sticking things in his baguette. So even if he would carry it on Shabbat, it would be putter. Nonetheless, we say, be careful not to walk out with that needle in your baguette, which shows that when it comes to Hotza'ah or to Shabbat, Now we do make a gzera le gzera. Says the Gemara, no. The nakik le biyadei. It means, it doesn't mean the advertising needle. It means carrying your needle if you're trying to maybe bring it home or whatever and to keep over Shabbos. Tashma, well the Braita says b'feirush, lo yetzei achayat b'machato hatchuva lo b'bigdo. Now I would assume that this Braita is an extension of the Mishnah, and it's just explaining that we're referring to Erev Shabbat as the Mishnah was, and it's telling us even though the needle was stuck in your pocket, not pocket, but your baguette, as a sign of being a tailor, and nonetheless it's asur. No, says the Gemara, ki tanya b'Shabbat. What it means is even though you're not chayev in taking a needle out that you don't hold in your hand, that you have stuck in your begadim, nonetheless, midrabanan, it's asur to go out that way on Shabbos. But we're not going to make a gzera like gzera before Shabbos to go out like that, because maybe you'll carry it on Shabbos. That's not a problem, perhaps. But Tanya, well, how about the braita that closes all of the options, okay? Lo yetzei achayat b'machato tchuva b'vigdo b'erev Shabbat imcha shecha. Now what are you going to do? Now, get out of this one. Okay. Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. That braita is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that uman derev unuto chayat. That a craftsman who normally wears a tool in a particular way, even though anybody else who went around carrying maybe something hanging from his clothing or behind his ear or whatever is not normal hotza'ah, but if that's the normal way that you advertise those particular professions, that is normal for that person.
It's not a gezeira.
And it's not a gezeira, therefore. Exactly. You were trying to bring a raya that even if you would be yotze, it would only be a drabon in any way through the gzera l'gzera. No, it's a diorita, chayav. The Tanya, lo yetzea chayat b'machato, hatechuva lo b'bigdo. So that we already knew how the tailor advertises. V'lo nagar b'kisem shebozno. A carpenter shouldn't walk out wearing a level or a ruler in his ear to make it clear what his job is, and a lo sorek the meshicha shebozno, or the sorek, which in those days was basically the equivalent of the dry cleaner, because you couldn't wash your clothing, but you could comb them out again, and he shouldn't walk out carrying the rope in his ear, because what they would do is they would tie the beged taut with these little ropes that would connect to the sides of the begadim. And then he would pull the comb through it. V'lo gardi be'ira sheba ozno. Nor should the weaver walk out. This is how the English word for ozen came about. You shouldn't wear an ear in your ozen. And what is that? What is an ear? An ear is a little piece of material that's used to stop the flow of the thread from the shuttle. If you can't let it flow too quickly, or it'll just unravel as you throw the shuttle, so they would have a little piece of material to block the shuttle to create just the amount of friction that you need for the correct amount of thread to come out. That's an ira. Velot sava. Now, if you are selling paints, now you have to have, of course, a large catalog of your various paints. So the best way to make a catalog is make a little necklace with the different colors, hang each little piece of wood is colored with a different color, and then you show it to the woman of the house, and you say, now, this would be good for the living room, as Rashi says, very cute. Do you like this one, or you like that one? And this would be your color chart. So that was, they would wear this around their neck. And a shulchani, if he's a banker, I mean, he walks around with a dollar in his ear. Though Shulchani B'dinar Shabbos knows, everybody knows what his business is. Ve'im yatsa patur aval asur divrei meir. If you would go out carrying any of these things, it's not permissible, but certainly you're not chayev, because it's not the derech hotza'ah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, uman derech umnuto chayav. If this was your profession, then that's normal for you, and you would be chayev. Somebody else, shar kol adam, would indeed be patur. Tani chada, lo yetzei hazav b'kiso, v'im yatsa patur aval asur, Tanya Idak lo yetze v'im yatza chayav chatat. Now one brisa says the derech was that a zog would wear a pad to, now the question is if it's to keep his clothing clean from any leakage of prostate fluids, then we get into another question about whether keeping clothes clean is considered to be otsa, which we're going to get into. But there's also the additional need to keep track of whether there was any re'iyah on that day, which would be mitami or would destroy your shivat nikiyim. So if a zav now goes out wearing a pad, equivalent of a sanitary napkin, basically, for a male, so except that it's shaped to fit, so it's called a kis. Ve'im yatzah patur avalasur. So one bright that says going out with this thing would be potter, but you're not allowed to lechatchila. The other bright says you're chayav achatas. Isn't that a contradiction? But Yosef, well, it represents two different shitot. Lo kasha, ha Rebbe Meir, ha Rebbe Yehuda. Wait a minute, says Abaye, that you can't say that. Rabbi Meir didn't say any unusual carriage is considered to be potter unless it was indeed unusual for anyone in that circumstance. But I mean, this is the norm. What do you say? Wear a sanitary napkin in your belt? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Or in your pocket? So the idea over here is that this is the norm for anyone who needs to carry such a thing. So if it's urche, why would that be considered to be patrid according to Rabbi Meir? Yilote ma'achi. I mean, if you're going to say that there exists some type of absolute description of a malacha, because that's what this would imply. Hotza'ah consists of the way in which hotza'ah was done in the Mishkan in that particular level of expertise. Okay, so according to that, if I'm not an expert at using a drill or whatever, and I would be chokek kav v'bakat, I take a piece of wood, and now, as a hobbyist, I make it into a cup. It's not perfect. So I should be potter, because that's not the way in which it's done. So had yod shechokek kav v'bakat b'shabbat. So we're going to say that that's not the absolute malacha. You would suggest that according to Rabbi Meir, that hachinami delo mechayev, I do it in a different way than an oman does it. I managed to get the job done. So, well, managing to get the job done doesn't count. I mean, did anybody ever hear such a thing in Rabbi Meir? Elo omer Rabam Nuna lo kasha. Therefore, says Rabam Nuna, Rabbi Yosef was wrong in saying that this brayta was a mach. One was Rabbi Yosef, one was Rabbi Yehuda, one was Rabbi Meir. Actually, it was two different cases. Kan bezav baal shtei re'iyot. Kan bezav baal shalosh re'iyot. One was talking about whether Zav required this kis because he needed to know if he would be roa shalosh re'iyot, then he would be chayav a korban. But that he would be a complete Zav. So for him, since he needs this, it's derech hotza'ah. All of this needs to be explained as to why it's not derech levisha. Right? I mean, lechora, this is something that you're wearing. The question is, what is considered to be beged, that should be bottled to your body, and what is considered to be a something that is not part of your attire? Okay, that's, we'll see when we get into the question of tinuf begadi. The other is talking about a zav is already a zav gomer, therefore there's no point in keeping track of his re'iyos. Wait a minute now. Maishna zav vashtev, excuse me. You're saying that the Zav of Turi Iyod is chayav because he needs this kis to be moile libidika. But a Zav Baal Shalosh Riyot has to keep track of whether he ruined his Shivat Nekiyim. See, he needs it for Svira because he can't become Tahar from his Zivot unless he had 7 clean days. You know, that you think it's only the women who can complain. So look, according to this, he should be just as chayav. No, it's a little bit bayom. We're talking about that he hasn't started counting his 7 clean days. So you can't count part of a day as one of the Shivat Nikiyim. So he's going to have to make a hefsek tyre that night. So during that day in which he still is being roa, he's already a zov bal shalosh riyot. He doesn't really need this kis. Well, what do you think he's wearing it for? I mean, Hamibai, like Kadei Shaloyatan Fukelav, I mean, obviously, it serves a logistical purpose. Forget about the halachic purpose. I mean, he doesn't want his clothing to get dirty. So why isn't that enough of a reason to be chayev for Hotza'ah? Omer Rebbe Zera, Hai Tanahu. That would be going according to the Tana who holds that Kol Itzulei Tinut Lo Kachashi. Something that is only there in order to prevent something else from getting dirty is not considered to be valuable enough to be a shiur of Hotza'ah. So therefore it's not included in Derech Hotza'ah. Remember that Hotza'ah requires chashivut, like any malach on Shabbos. It's not doing the act, but it's doing the act so that it should have a significant result. Something which is in itself meaningless, it's only there in order to prevent something else from getting dirty, is not considered to be chashuv. Where do we find this machloket? In a very interesting case. And that's the case of HaKofe Ka'ara al HaKota. Somebody takes a pot, turns it upside down on a wall on which it's raining. And now the shaila is the water that collects there considered to be b'chiyutan? Because remember that in order for something to be makshir l'kabalat tumah, a liquid, to be makshir l'kabalat tumah, even though the pasuk says ki yutan mayim al zera, it spells it. Can you spell it?
Spell what?
It.
IT.
Exactly. You see how deeply involved he is in the internet. So now, the question is that the Torah spells it by writing ki yitain instead of ki yutan, which means that we strike a balance. The only time that you're able to be makshir is if water was put on something that you wanted. So it's as if it's ki, even though ki yutan is passive, ki yitain is active. You don't have to do the actual work, so it's passive in that sense, but it's ki yitain in a mental sense. So you want this to be there. Now you take over here a pot, put it on top of a wall, you have no interest in collecting water. So all you want to do is make sure that the koto doesn't get wet. So in b'shul shetudach hakara, if you want the pot to be washed off, now there you want the water to wash the pot. So then I raise it with yutan. But in b'shul shelo yilakeh koto, if the only reason you put it there is in order to prevent the wall from getting damaged by the water, then it's a no b'chiyutan. And therefore, we see that the question of your intent to save from tinuf, or in this case to save from the damp of the water, is not chashuv. Not me, dummy. Come on, it's not really similar, is it? I mean, ahatam lo kabaylo la'im ashkin klal. You're telling me over there, I don't want these waters at all. Okay, so in other words, as far as I'm concerned, we can forget about the water. So clearly there's no, I mean, if I don't have any interest in the water, then there's makes no difference to me what the kfiyah is for. There's no kiyutan because I don't want it to get wet at all. The issue is not to look at the pot and why the pot's there. The issue is to look at why the water is here. As far as I'm concerned, my das has to be that this water should be, I don't want any water. So obviously that's not kiyutan. Mashain came over here, the question is not whether you want the zivas. I mean, that's not what defines it. Over here, hacha, kaboyelahu lai kis. You do want this kis, do you not? You want the kis, the kibbula beziva. And therefore, it's not the same. You're saying, well, I would rather not be a zav. Thank you very much. But that isn't the question that's going to determine the nature of itzulei mitinot. This is something that we should continue tomorrow. At what time? Tomorrow night? Shall we do our 9:30 time again? Is that all right for everybody? I love the responsiveness. Because they know it's useless anyway. It's done. You know. It's like the Russian Duma. Everybody votes.
Early in all, pick volunteers.
Both cases, you would rather not happen.
Yeah, but the bin that defines it.